Bluetoothmice.com. Beep.
Just So Jables.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Just So Jables Film Podcast with me, Jables.
And me, our kid.
Me, producer Ben. Come on, let's get on with this. Well, we are proudly sponsored by Bluetooth Mice.
This week we're sponsored by Bluetooth Mice. Thank you, Amazon. Here on the Just So Jables Film Podcast, we like to talk about films, watch a film, something live, brand new out of the cinema. But not this week.
No.
Because there's naff all on that we want to watch, is there?
No. Because you don't want to watch Challenges.
I can't bring myself to it.
Can we talk neither. Briefly about Challenges?
We can talk briefly.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Why is it a 15 and why is it 2 hours and 15 minutes long? It's a film about tennis.
Yeah, it's going to be sexy times in it though.
But okay. But they're all children.
Is that why you want to watch it?
I don't. I'm just... No. I don't want to talk about Challenges anymore.
Excellent.
Potentially the funniest thing you've said on the podcast. Very good. Very good. So Challenges is not happening. Well, we like to give you our hot takes without making ourselves seem funny and clever. And, well, we try and seem...
That just comes by accident,
that's
doesn't
just,
it?
Yeah. It's just natural.
It's just a byproduct.
So we're going to be watching this week In the Land of Saints and Sinners, which has just come out on Netflix with... Wolf Puncher Liam Neeson.
Yes.
But before we get into that, our kid, how did we get on with last week's film, which was Annabelle?
Yeah, that's right. No. Wasn't it? What was it?
Oh, it wasn't.
Try again.
Oh, my goodness.
Abigail.
Yes. Yeah.
Thanks.
It's been a long week, actually.
Yeah.
So, Abigail seems to have gone down fairly well with most of the critics, actually. No one was saying how amazing it was. But the consensus was it was good enough.
Yeah.
Wendy Ide of The Guardian gave it 4 out of 5 stars, which I was quite surprised about because I'm usually at polar opposites to her. She mostly talked about Dan Stevens, to be fair. I think she's got a bit of a Dan Stevens crushy.
Yeah.
But she called it great fun. Simon Fern of Unilad said it was one of the best vampire films in years. Manola Dargis of The New York Times called it horror by numbers. So there's a few, they're the two opposite ends of it, really. Rotten Tomatoes, 84% critic score, 86% audience score. So pretty good. And it made back its $30 million budget.
Okay.
So it'll go to DVD, it'll make it scrape a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Washes its own face. What's Unilad?
It's a pop culture website.
All right. Okay.
Don't you get Unilad videos pop up on like Facebook?
No,
live in the now,
don't
Ben.
Go on Facebook.
It doesn't go on. Well, I stand by what I said last week. I do still have my beef with the how much of the film was spoiled in the trailers and how nice it would have been to not know that stuff. I haven't really thought about it. It's not come to mind much. It was fairly throwaway, like we said. Best vampire film in how long?
Years.
No, I don't think so.
What do you think was then?
Probably mowing down Vance with my best friend, Bert.
Day Shift.
Yeah, I think that was the most fun.
I'd say it's on a par with Day Shift.
I can't, to be honest, there's not lots that have stuck out in my mind. Renfield was fine, but it wasn't, you know, amazing. I'd say Renfield was probably better than Abigail.
Oh, really?
Think so. I enjoyed it. But again, none of them have like stuck in my mind. They're not indented anything in there. No worse than what's in there already. So what about you guys?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm really looking forward to watching it again. I have reflected on it a little bit, actually, just kind of thinking about how much fun I thought it was.
Okay.
So, yeah, looking forward to it joining the canon.
Yeah.
Okay, haven't reflected on it. It's been a tough week. It's fine. It was a fine film. I'll watch it again.
Well, Ben, since your week's been so bad, why don't you tell us what you're on about this week?
I'm on about retro reels. It's been a tough week.
Yeah.
Flash Gordon. Gordon's alive. And he's appearing at the King's Lynn Corn Exchange Cinema Friday the 17th of May, 7:30 p.m.
Sharp.
No trailers. Mm-hmm. Turn up on time, please.
Yeah.
As mentioned before, please come in costume. It is mandatory.
You'll be putting people off. Yeah. You don't have to come in costume.
Really? I'll be putting certain segment off and encouraging another sort of segment.
It's worth a try, Ben.
Be there or don't be there.
Yeah. Come dressed up or don't, and be there if you could, but don't.
Yeah.
But come.
Whatever. No, I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really cool on the big screen.
Yeah, I do too.
Very cool.
I wonder how it's going to scale. I wonder how 80s it's going to look. Because, it obviously was a big cinema release at the time, so it must have a certain amount of big screen appeal to it as well. I did we watch it in the cinema? I don't think so. No, but I remember just seeing
it on video.
Yeah, video quite a bit. So I'm wondering how it's going to look.
1980, so you probably didn't.
Yeah, I wonder how it's going to look as intended. Yeah, I'm interested to see that.
So yeah, there we go. Jables, what are you on about this week?
Well, I spent a weekend watching quite a few films, actually, because I was house-sitting. So, yeah, I ended up spending quite a bit of time on Now TV and Netflix. So the random stuff I did watch, the oldies that I watched Escape from New York, which was great to watch. Because I was like, oh, that would be great for Retro Reels, but we can't do another John Carpenter yet.
Yeah.
Mad Max 1, first one. Because
the best one.
Yeah, new one's coming out soon. It's my favourite one as well. I think a lot of people like the second one. I think that's kind of their idea of Mad Max. That sort of dystopian.
Yeah, desert crazies.
Yeah.
Because Mad Max 1 is, well, okay, it does have desert crazies.
Yeah.
But in a completely different way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just such a different film.
It's really low-key, isn't
it? It's my favourite as well, though. I like it. Mm. But, yeah. The thing that I'd watched that was new that I hadn't seen before was Glass, if you saw that.
Yeah.
Did you what? Have you seen it?
Yeah, I have seen it.
What did you think?
I thought it was okay.
It's okay. It's a more interesting idea than it actually delivers, I think. It felt like it could have been like a culmination and a crescendo. But I was really enjoying it until they started really labouring on the superhero motifs. And I know that's kind of the idea of it, but they sort of laboured on it and got stuck on it a bit, I think.
Yeah.
Because without actually thinking about that stuff, on its own, it would have been quite interesting. Like, it's that whole having someone like spouting that stuff out at you, telling you, "Oh, it's because of this, this, and this," is less interesting than actually forming that in your mind and thinking about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the only new thing I've seen, apart from Invincible, which is the series that I've.
That I keep going on about.
Yeah,
ago,
and I'm not going to say too much about it because I got Barney Jones onto it last night. So I'm hoping he's going to be watching it. So I'm going to wait to hear his feedback from the weekend. And yeah, I'm going to talk about that in probably quite a lot of detail next week because I really, really liked it.
Cool.
That's me. What about you, Arkid?
Well, we started watching a new series on Netflix, which is Dead Boy Detectives.
Oh, I started watching. Yeah, I've seen like 3 episodes.
Yeah, I've only seen 2 episodes.
Yeah.
And I'm quite happy to leave it there.
Yeah.
I didn't really enjoy it.
No. It was my lunch, my tea time viewing. I know I've said about my tea time viewing, which is just like something I watch while I eat tea. And it's quite throwaway and it can be often throwaway stuff.
I was looking forward to it because it's based on a short story from the Sandman comics.
Number 25?
Neil Gaiman. Yeah, it's in Seasons of Mist, isn't it? Because it's all about when Lucifer's let all the demons out of hell.
Yeah.
And so it's based on those characters, but it is very different. They're much older in it than they were in the story. And I love the story. And in principle, I think it was quite a good idea. But I just thought that the acting was mostly not very good. And there were just things that happened that just seemed really dated. Like there was a demon with a regional northern accent and little sweary imps and things. And it was like, that was funny 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff's just not really very funny anymore. There are a few bits that we quite liked. Like, did you see the, what were they called? Like the luminescent parasite things.
Oh, the dandelion.
Yeah, that was kind of how that started was kind of fun. But it just seemed to play out in a really quite naff sort of way. You weren't that into it really either, were you?
No, I mean, I'm naturally a bit cynical about these things, but no, it didn't really gel with me.
The next episode was okay. I quite liked the next episode. I'm on like the 4th episode or something like that now. Yeah, I get what you're saying. You remember when Sky were bringing out all those like Terry Pratchett books and putting them straight to film, like they were like Christmas specials.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they always had that kind of like really fake kind of like, I got that sort of vibe from this in like the acting and they're not, I didn't think they were terrible. I just.
It just didn't really gel.
Yeah, it didn't. It didn't. Because there's some nice ideas in there.
Yeah, definitely.
But I dragged the book out and I was going to have a read it. And I haven't, because I can't remember it from when I've read it years ago. And I remember I've been going through all the Sandmans again now and I haven't got that far in yet. But yeah, I don't remember it being like this. And it feels like
no, it's everything that happened in the story precedes what's in the show. There's the odd little flashback, but generally it's a spin-off of what happens next.
I kind of presumed something like that because Oh, because I didn't know anything about the link. I didn't know it was linked. It just didn't twig. I just saw it crop on. I thought, oh, I'll start watching that. And then like Death from Sandman pops up. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And then I looked at it. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So the links are tenuous. The fact it just like disappears off to America after like...
Yeah,
it was kind of that was annoying.
Because
it could have been quite a fun London.
It just felt budgetary.
Yeah.
That's what it felt. It didn't feel like... Yeah, it would have been, you know, nice to see like a... an 80s London kid stuck in London.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. And everyone was like massive caricatures of characters. I don't think it was that they were bad acting for me. They just felt fake to me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, but there's some nice, but annoyingly, there's some nice little ideas. There's actually a nice kind of little idea in episode 3, I think it was, which I quite liked and I liked the idea of and it worked. It's more of a haunted housey kind of one.
Okay.
So you might like that. But again, it's throwaway.
So that's me.
So if people want to get in touch with us, Ben, and tell us what they've been watching, how would they do that?
At Just So Jables on the socials, X, Instagram, Facebook. You can email us, hello@justsojables.com. That's all you're getting for this week.
Excellent. Yeah. Right, on to this week then. Our kid, as you said, we're going to be watching...
In the Land of Saints and Sinners.
Yes, or I'm going to call it now just Itless Ass, because it's just going to be easier for that.
I'm just going to call it...
So I don't know anything about this film apart from what you told me, you sent on the WhatsApp group because we've been trying to work out what we're going to be watching. Mm-hmm. Came out last year.
Oh, I thought it was 2024.
No, 2023. I think it. I don't know if it. I don't know if it had a cinema release.
It had a limited cinema release.
Okay. Well, I saw 2023 when I read it. Hour and 46 minutes. That's what I know.
Perfect.
It stars Liam Neeson.
And a member of his family's been kidnapped and he's got to go and find them?
Well, it's seemingly something along those lines, probably. No, I don't know.
No, that's just every Liam Neeson film, isn't it?
It's just to go off the synopsis of, IMDb. It's like, in a remote Irish village, a widower is forced to fight for redemption after a lifetime of sins. But what price is he willing to pay? In the land of saints and sinners, some sins can't be buried. I think it looks like he's, there's an ex-World War II veteran who doubles as a hitman during the Troubles. It's set in Ireland. I don't know how much of the bearing that's going to be. I don't know how much of it is going to be serious. I must admit, I watched the trailer and I didn't really get that much feel of the film from it. It feels like it's going to be quite serious.
Yeah.
As I said, it stars Liam Neeson. It's got Niamh Cusack in it. Who we all know from Heartbeat.
Yeah, Poirot.
Poirot. Midsummer Murders, probably.
Definitely.
Yeah. And it's also got Colin Meaney. These are only the people that I know, but it looks like it stars a lot of other people, younger people, that I don't know much about. I'm just going to be honest about it. So really, I guess from my point of view, I'm coming at it that I don't know anything about it. It'll be nice just to watch a film I don't know anything about, see if it's any good. I like Liam Neeson films in general, I'd say. I don't necessarily want to be beaten over the head too much with anything. It would be nice to actually just watch almost like a gangster. I'm not a gangstery film, but like a thrillery type film with a bit of stakes that I'm not going to feel bad about watching or be made to feel bad about watching.
Yeah.
What about you, Arkid?
Yeah, same. I think it looks like a bit of a revenge thriller.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because someone's after him for revenge.
Yeah.
So that'll be an interesting turnaround
if
it is that. So, yeah, I like Liam Neeson. I like Colm Meaney because he was Chief O'Brien in Star Trek.
Yeah.
I like Niamh Cusack because she pops up on the telly from time to time. So, yeah, I'm not like jumping up and down or anything, but I don't think I would be this week because we were really struggling to find something. So it was... good that we just found something that we've never heard of.
Yeah, and as you said, it's brand new on Netflix, so it's not like we're...
dredging up stuff.
No.
Yeah, so, wandering around Entertainment Exchange trying to find something.
Just so you know, I could have dredged some stuff up.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit miffed, but anyway.
Ben, you've been permanently miffed for about 18 years.
Oh, at least, yeah. It's more like 25. I quite like these weeks where there's nothing at the cinema, because like the week before, when we're looking and we're scrolling through what are we going to watch... At that moment, I'm like, oh, God, this is boring. But then when I get round to the next week, I'm like, actually, it's quite nice just to step away from the cinema for a week and just watch something random.
Yeah.
I have watched the trailer. I don't think it gives a huge amount away.
No.
I think the style of it looks quite good. It's that kind of, I think there's going to be rural settings and he's driving around solving problems, maybe revisiting old ghosts and situations. Is it set in the 70s, did we say? Something like
that. I like the fact it looks gritty, but not sepia.
Yeah.
So it looks kind of real gritty. Yeah. Like in the trailer, you get some kind of, you probably know the technical term, but like long range shots, landscape shots of him moving through the countryside doing stuff.
I think they call it a long range shot.
Okay, good. Yeah, so I like it. Am I worried about anything? I'm not worried about what you're worried about, Jables, that they're going to be pushing a message. I don't think it will be that.
I'm hoping not. That's what I'm,
yeah. I think what I am worried about is that it's just going to be a bit slow and boring. That's the main risk for this one, I think. Unless they've got the right pathos to it and we get behind the motivations of the main character or characters, it's just going to be like we're watching some boring people plodding about doing stuff slowly in the countryside.
Okay.
So anyway, I'll shut up now.
Well, we're watching on Netflix, so I think we need to move like 5 feet to my right and get this going then.
Let's do it.
And we're back from the sofa, having just watched...
Land of Saints and Sinners.
Well done, Ben.
In the Land of Saints.
In the Land of Saints, Itless ass. So, who's given us a... Synopsis.
I've written a bit of synopsis.
Go on then, go for it.
It looks like a bit of an essay
for
me.
It does
here,
look. That's,
I'm going to go for it.
Did you see
it?
Me looking? I was
you
like,
were
wow.
Looking a little puzzled.
More like a screen film.
Yeah,
we'll see how we go.
Go.
So, Liam Neeson plays Finbar Murphy, a military veteran now living in a small town in Donegal and working as a freelance hitman under the guise of being a book trader.
To be sure.
Yeah. He then decides to retire from being a hitman to enjoy being part of the community. Meanwhile, it's 1974 during the Troubles and a group of terrorists are hiding out in the town after a bombing that killed a lot of people, including several children.
Yeah.
One of them, Curtis, is a bit of a prick and gets in Finbar's crosshairs. The only person who seems to care about what happened to Curtis is his sister, Durin.
Also a prick.
Also a bit of a prick. Who sets out on a path of... Vengeance.
Yeah.
There you go. There's my synopsis.
So, shall I start? Just writing myself another quick note because you're just reminding me of something. So this film overall, I think you can sum it up quite a lot of ways. I'm going to be relatively kind on it, but not 100% sure why. I think it wasn't, I'd sound like Mark Kermode if I say, it's not.
Why do you know the director?
No, it's not without its charm. But it wasn't. I quite liked the people in the film. And it's not like they had some kind of complicated script. They felt people's interactions with each other actually felt quite natural and quite like a community. There's a couple of stereotypes. There's the young lad, I can't remember what his name was, who was sort of Liam Neeson's protege.
Mm.
He was quite jarring, but he was also quite good as well. He was almost like the comic relief of it, but without being completely dumb. He was over the top. But
also a prick, though.
Also a prick.
He was my favourite character.
Yeah.
But he was a prick.
He probably was mine. Yeah, but... Well, maybe Sean was my favourite character, but... you might come on to that. No, but the whole film, like, overall, the story and all that kind of stuff, it felt very safe.
Yeah.
Despite the subject material, it's... drawing on. I don't know if these are based on actual bombings. I'm not sure. I don't think they were directly. It didn't feel like that. But obviously there were issues at that time and there were troubles and there were bombings. But it felt quite safe, but also like it was trying to do something a bit different. But the things just weren't really landing, if that makes sense. Mm. That's my first take. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was good enough. It felt very low-key, almost like it could have been a TV film.
Oh, yeah,
really.
I've got that written down.
There was nothing sort of that particularly stood out in it, but there was nothing that I particularly disliked either. Like you, I liked the characters in it. There were some quite sort of quirky characters, but in, you know, just the right side of quirky to not spin off into Father Ted territory.
No.
I liked the friendship between Finbar Murphy and the policeman.
Yeah.
Actually, that was quite sweet. And I almost thought that there could have been a little bit more of that. They kept bringing up the book Crime and Punishment, for example. Yeah. And I thought they could have used that a bit better as more of the backbone of the film, but they didn't really.
No.
So it felt like there were perhaps opportunities there that they just didn't take throughout the film with things. And I thought that the terrorists, they were just a bit dipsy, but also a bit dramatic. The way they talked, that, you know, occasionally it was like they were... I wondered if they might have been like stage actors and they were talking in capital letters so that everyone at the back could hear.
You know. But they're having quiet discussions. They were literally shouting at each
projecting.
Other.
Projecting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't mind them. They were kind of caricatures of those sort
that's
of...
That's right, like, yeah. Yeah. And I did. I liked the idea of the, like, Cole Meany's character. I think his name was Robert, and he was like the, I don't know what the word is or the name is for like the guy who... the hits come into and he gives them out.
They did say something, I can't remember.
I kind of like the idea of just this, you know, guy who lives in a cottage in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, with his mum.
With his mum, who's actually this kind of kingpin sort of character. I liked that, but again, it didn't feel particularly explored. Maybe it's something that could have been a TV series more successfully. I don't know.
I don't think that's a bad chat, actually. It felt like it could have been expanded on more in that regard. Ben, what about your first sort of takes?
Probably similar to you guys. I think it lacked depth for me. And for that reason, I found it a bit boring. Maybe a little bit mean, but, you know, it's not a bad film. It's watchable. The performances are all fine.
Yeah.
The premise is fine. The way they've done it, the shooting, the visuals is fine. But it never goes deeply enough. Like, I didn't care about anyone particularly.
Yeah.
So, and it, you know, in terms of caricatures... Okay, the balance there was fine, but there was no depth to the serious aspect of it. Like, I didn't really understand the motivation of the terrorist group.
No.
They were just there as a device to be something to rail against and pursue in a vengeful manner, whatever. Liam Neeson's character, Finbar, I mean, we knew why he was there, and we knew what his story was, and we knew what he did for a living and et cetera, but... didn't really bring it to life. It was just like,
I thought the same. Yeah.
No, like, backstory, really, other than just like, you just know that he's a war veteran, whatever. No, like, so, like, the crime and punishment thing. So you've got the police versus, you know, the sort of dogged police guy versus the guy who's kind of a criminal and might have killed people, wrestling with his conscience. But there's not really any wrestling with conscience. It's just like, oh, yeah, I kill people.
I'll stop now.
Yeah. There was no tension or pathos there.
I agree. Yeah. It was really hard to kind of empathize with him, or when, you know, he's clearly doing bad stuff and then just decides one day when he's talking to someone he's just about to kill, oh, maybe I should stop now. Because, as you said, because of the lack of depth and the lack of, we don't want stuff explained to us, but just a bit more to it, you kind of thought, okay. And then you kind of sat there going, well, you know, something's going to change to turn that around again. And it does. There was nothing surprising in the film, I don't think. No.
Plus, for better or worse, when you've got Liam Neeson in a film and he's a character that everyone else thinks is just a slightly aloof, nice guy, but he's actually a highly trained killer.
Yeah.
Films where he's been in that situation before, they lean into it and make it a big thing, like you're expecting... fireworks from Liam Neeson and the crescendo. You don't really get it with this.
It was kind of the understated version, wasn't
it? Yeah. There's a shootout.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you can tell it's actors just pretending to fire guns in a pub. It doesn't. I don't know if that's a spoiler, but...
No, I think that's fair.
Like, I wanted that dogged last scene of Liam Neeson dragging himself out of the mud one last time.
Yeah.
And then one last time again. And you just don't get it.
There wasn't any
weight to it.
And there wasn't that from anyone, really.
What I couldn't get my head around, and I think felt like the main flaw to me, was that he makes an effort to become more integrated in the community, but then he arranges for a gunfight on Cayley night at the pub.
Yeah.
It just seemed a little bit like, what? Why are we getting everyone? I'll meet you at the pub at 8:30.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Everyone's there.
Everyone, yeah. There was a lot of beats like that which didn't make sense in this film. I won't go into all of them, because some of them are, you know, you might watch it, you don't want the whole story told. It's not really a spoiler. These terrorists are hiding out down there. But, you know, the guys are going off for a swim down the beach every day, and then they're wondering why he's, you know, got himself in trouble. It's like, what do you expect? Keep him under control, you know. I actually quite liked the sister character.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought she was quite It wasn't not even funny, just like just an arse. But kind of a, you know, just a, like a fiery arse.
Mm. Fiery arse.
not in a me way. But yeah, and like I said, there was actually quite a few of the characters I liked, but it's almost like the ones who had any bearing on the story necessarily didn't have... Yeah, I liked them, but I didn't feel any depth or I didn't, you know, I liked them. I didn't necessarily care about them that much. You know, a couple of things I found the music quite jarring at times.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I kept thinking of Boone.
Boone?
What?
I haven't thought of Boone for years.
Because there's also some like West... There's like Western style music that pops in from time to time. And it literally popped into my head. And you know why also? Because it looked a bit like Boone. As you said, it looked made for TV. The whole thing kind of looked a little bit empty and stale.
Mm.
I don't know what it was, but... And I guess the problem is you go, well, you know, it's being realistic. It felt like a film studies group done like the set the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not to say people are bad, but it's like, hey, we'll do this one now.
So it felt a bit by the numbers kind of thing.
Yeah, felt by the numbers. But also, weirdly, in this big expanse, and I don't know if that was maybe like something as simple as like the aspect ratio or just what it was shot with, but it felt TV and the music felt tacked on with the scene and quite in your face. So yeah, it just like I said, it was jarring to me, that part. Yeah, so like we were saying, I think everyone who's acting in it actually did the best that they could.
Hmm.
And I think they were actually all fairly good in it, but they just didn't seem to have that much to actually work with.
Yeah, maybe.
So overall, it's like the people in the film and the whole production didn't know necessarily where to position itself. I know you haven't seen The Guard, the one with Donald Gleeson and Calvary and those kind of films. Mm. They're very dark films in places, but there is a dark comedy and a dark humour to them, but they're quite gruesome in places and, right. But weirdly there's a charm to them. It's, you know, it's like in Bruges, it's films like that where you have that kind of setup, which is almost what this is. This felt a little bit more like Straw Dogs Afternoons, not Nights. It's not like it's not the gritty. It didn't feel gritty. It didn't feel gritty at all.
No.
I don't just mean mucky like a dirty. It just didn't feel like. Do you know what it was? I don't think I believed it. I think it's just popped into my head. I didn't believe it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Perfect sense. Yeah.
And you know.
I feel bad that I just haven't really got very much to say about it. Because I just kind of thought it was okay, it was good enough.
Allow me to keep going.
Go ahead.
I think you actually said it when we were talking. There were bits that were missing and it almost had like mixed messaging in the actual... I don't know if it was trying to be political. It didn't feel like it was because it's like they were talking about the Troubles but not really talking about it. And we want a free island and we... want this, but no one else seemed to give a shit.
Mm.
So apart from the people, and it's like, oh, don't you care? It's like, well, yeah, we do. But so there's mixed messaging in that. And then it goes to this point where she's willing to sacrifice all that, though, to get the person who killed her brother. And then the next minute she's literally shouting, we have to do this. Don't you know how important this is? Then she'll, no, we need to kill the guy who got my brother. And then she'll be in that fight in the pub or wherever it is, and then she'll literally just kind of like wander off. And I know she's injured, but then she just wanders off.
Yeah.
And he just kind of like wanders after her. And I thought there's going to be this sort... I'm trying to think what it is. Is it almost like... it's almost like a Western type thing where you've got the baddies going off to the church and the good guys sort of following him. And even that just... that was boring, actually, I must admit. That bit, I was like, oh, it's going to be something in... No.
I think part of the setup was weird as well, because the reason that Liam Neeson turns against this group of terrorists who are hiding out in the countryside is nothing to do with the fact they're terrorists.
No.
So then it just felt like, but why then? Because they could have just been bank robbers or, you know. So it was like they didn't make enough of the fact they were terrorists. Because the hook for Liam Neeson finding out they were there and deciding to go after, well, initially one of them, is completely arbitrary.
Yeah.
It's like it's just because the guy's a bit of a prick, but then it's not, though.
Well, they're saying it's because he was obviously hurting the kid or doing stuff with the kid.
Yeah.
But even that's quite vague.
But that doesn't even make sense. Like this, where you've got, so you're a group of four terrorists hiding out in the countryside. Surely, like, lesson one is lie low.
Yeah.
So why would you do that stuff?
Yeah,
doesn't
exactly,
make
yeah.
any sense.
Yeah.
So it felt like a slightly tortured device to then go, oh, it's because it's the little kid and now Liam Neeson has to sort it out. And it's like, doesn't make sense.
It would literally only take him to go, hey, policeman mate, just go and knock on the caravan door once. That'll scare him off if he knows what's going on. So, yeah, no, I know what you mean. I do agree. So I sound like I'm being down on it. Do you know what? It was perfectly passable watching. You know, I enjoyed it.
You could watch it with mum and dad without squirming too much.
But there's also a lot, and I mean a lot of films of this type in this kind of category that I would, you know, say, oh, why don't we watch this instead, though? And I've watched those with the parents, and mum was having a riot when we watched The Guard. But we watched Calvary together when I was in Cyprus.
Told me about that, yeah.
I'm not going to look up what the opening line is in Calvary if you ever get a chance, and you'll realize why I was like, oh, I'm going to enjoy this film with them. But actually, it's a good film, and it's good enough to kind of pass all that. This just wasn't. Do you know what? I'd tell them, if you're looking for something to do, watch it. And they'd probably go, oh, yeah, that was good. But that'll be it.
Yeah, it could have been better, though, couldn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. That's what they'll say, but it'll never be mentioned again.
Yeah, could have been better. There we go.
I will say one thing, though, Ben, and you can answer this. Cars.
Yeah.
What did you think of the cars in the film?
The cars were probably about what they needed to be.
Yeah. I was hoping a little bit more enthusiasm than that.
Yeah.
And there were some good ones.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. I mean, well, you're seeing all the stuff you would see if you were around in the mid-70s, although that's maybe not actually true, because I think in those days, a lot of people would have been driving much older cars.
Potentially, but...
So you've got, well, there's a Ford Capri.
There is.
Driven by the slightly dickish protege guy.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nail on the head.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of stands out as a bit of an oddity, actually, in the film in terms of cars. But I guess it's put in there deliberately to say, well, this guy's a bit of a flash.
Yeah, yeah.
Weirdo, and he just stands out.
I liked the Capri. I thought it was quite cool.
Yeah. Other cars, I don't know all the names of them. Like Liam Neeson's car was some kind of
Triumph
thing. Yeah, yeah, I don't know the exact model. But yeah, just that general sense of brown and slightly shit British engineering from the 70s.
Arkid, any last thoughts? No. Ben, any last thoughts? No. No. Okay, well, give It Lassass a go. Right, what's happening next week then, Benj?
I can offer you such delights as Tarot, which we talked about before.
Okay, I know it's going to be garbage, but having not watched anything this week in the cinema and kind of not feeling that bothered about Tarot, and I think last time we spoke about it, I wasn't that interested, I'm quite interested in watching it for no reason.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, also, just as a bit of balance in case
you're not watching Challengers.
No.
Go on.
No, it wasn't Challengers.
Okay, go on.
Fall Guy or something like that.
Oh,
with
Fall Guy,
Emily
Fall
Blunt
Guy.
And Ryan, one of the Ryans.
Emily Blunt.
I know. Yeah.
But just slow like the...
Probably Fall Guy, then.
The artwork, I don't know what the premise is at all.
You remember the TV show, The Fall Guy?
Yes.
It's that.
It's
oh,
that.
Is it? Oh,
yeah.
Right, okay.
But I wonder if Lee Majors is in it.
There'll be a cameo or two.
Be, shouldn't there?
There will be.
So, yeah.
They can't resist.
I've heard such things as, it was all right.
Okay.
So
we could have 2 weeks in a row if it was fine.
I think it's a little bit better than fine.
Okay.
I'm a bit worried about it, but fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Cool. Fall Guy it is then.
Fall Guy it is then.
Right. Well, if people want to get in touch, hit us up. If people still do that. Instagram, Facebook, X, hello at justsojables.com. If you're on Spotify, iTunes. Is it still called iTunes? Probably.
Don't know.
Apple Music,
Apple
maybe.
Podcasts.
Yeah. Then just leave us a like and maybe a glowing review of how amazing.
Sign up for Retro Reels.
Sign up for Retro Reels. Buy a ticket as well.
Buy a ticket.
Yeah.
Do whatever the kids do these days.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, mate. Chop, chop. All right, I'm out of here.
Bye.
Thought you'd never go. Cheers.
Stop feeding me then.
Just so Jables.